Hare Krishna. Well, I have learned many new things from each speaker. So, I've learned a lot from every speaker about Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and Krishna consciousness. To begin, I need to clarify a little about what I said to Srila Prabhupada and the incident that Hridayananda Das Goswami related, because he missed one word, and that word has relevance to what I had intended to say about Tamal Krishna Goswami. So basically what he related was, all right, in the middle of the night Srila Prabhupada called for me, and I went to his room, and he said, do you think this movement will go on without me? And I said, yes, as long as the devotees are sincere and they chant their rounds and follow the principles, it will go on. And then Srila Prabhupada said, organization, intelligence and organization. Some years ago in Houston, on Tamal Krishna Goswami's disappearance day, I was in a devotee's home, and I was just looking, you know, just looking at the different pictures on the wall, and I was struck by how many deities Tamal Krishna Goswami had a relationship with. I mean, how many projects, how many temples he had a relationship with. And I thought, practically anywhere you look, Tamal Krishna Goswami was there. Anywhere you look in ISKCON, he was there. His imprint is there. So this morning, when I was going through my morning program, I thought of the times when we had gone through the morning program together, our own sort of morning program, especially in Vrindavan. And I thought of different things I'd heard about his performance of the practices of Krishna consciousness from him and from others. And in that same way that I had been struck by how, you know, anywhere you look at ISKCON, you know, Tamal Krishna Goswami was there, I was also struck by how any practice of devotional service, he was also there in a very deep way. I'm thinking especially during our time in Vrindavan, but like I have, by the grace of, anyway, we have Tulsi Devi here, and I was thinking how he was always very careful to chant with Tulsi Devi. And, you know, I say certain prayers in the morning, and I was thinking how he would always say certain prayers in the morning before his japa and in the midst of his japa. And then I thought of his japa. After he left, I came across some statements he had made about japa. And he was so far ahead. Now it's like quite a topic in ISKCON, japa, how to chant good japa, japa to kirtan now. But there was a time when devotees didn't talk about it much. But he did. I was amazed that he was talking about things years before Satchinandan Swami and others began the japa retreats. The same things, just based on his own deep realizations of japa. And of course, scripture. Just one thing that comes to mind now is that he said that he can speak about Sankirtan in relation to any verse in Srimad Bhagavatam and make it relevant to the verse. Because the bhakti means to please Krishna. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is about bhakti, Bhagavatam, Bhagavat and Bhagavan. And so ultimately every verse is about how to please Krishna, and Sankirtan is the best way to please Krishna. So he said that with confidence and conviction. And he had that confidence and conviction when it came to instructing his disciples in a personal way. There was one disciple who actually passed away within the last year, who was prone to erratic behavior. And Tamalakrishna Goswami kept trying to bring him to the point of taking initiation. And he just wasn't coming to the point of accepting initiation. And finally Tamalakrishna Goswami said, "You know, I have chosen a name for you, and I've kept it for you for 3 years, or whatever it was. And if you don't take initiation now, I'm going to give that name to someone else." And then, okay, I'll do it. And he gave him the name Ajamil. Now, even after initiation, see, Ajamil was really good with people. He was very personable and friendly. He did really well on book distribution. Really well on book distribution. But after some time, he fell into his old ways. And you could say drifted away from the association of devotees. But he was always very loyal to Tamalakrishna Goswami. And in the last years, he came to Texas a couple of times and met me. And he had carefully preserved his few letters from Tamalakrishna Goswami in a notebook. And in one letter, Tamalakrishna Goswami wrote him, "If you just come back and go on Sankirtan, everything will follow. Your sadhana, the regulative principles, everything will follow." Because he knew that book distribution is not a material activity. You have to have spiritual potency to do book distribution. So if you're going to take it up seriously, that means
You have to chant your rounds. You have to follow the principles. You have to do everything that devotees are meant to do to bring your consciousness to this stage where you can have the potency to convince someone to take one of Srila Prabhupada's books. And he showed me another letter that Tamal Krishnat Goswami had written, not to him personally, but to the community in Dallas, preparing them for the marathon, you know, like giving them a pep talk for the marathon and saying, you know, I'm trying very hard to get Ajameel back for the marathon, and if we get Ajameel, then, you know, our success is assured. And he showed me that it meant so much to him that Gurudev had that estimation of him and wrote so openly about him to the other devotees. So in the last few years, he occasionally visited Texas, and he was living on the Mississippi farm, or near the Mississippi farm, New Taliban, near New Orleans. And he, it's so funny how things can be seen differently from different perspectives. So from one perspective, his departure was you know, you could, what might cause someone to feel sorry. He was alone, and no one actually knew that he had left until someone somehow got the idea to check on him, and then they found his body, and there's like a lot of blood. But looking more closely, it was clear that he knew that he was leaving. And I don't remember the details, but basically the idea would be something like, you know, he had his hands in his bead. Oh yeah, he shaved up, I think. He shaved up. He knew he was leaving. He shaved up. And when the time came, he had his hand in his beads and a picture of Tamal Krishna Goswami in front of him. And when His Holiness Ratakvija Swami mentioned that, you know, wherever they are, you know, whatever difficulties they're having or not having, or you know, if any disciple remains loyal to me, I remain loyal to them to the end. And I felt, hearing that story, that Srila Gurudev manifest his mercy to him at the end. A few little things I thought of hearing the others speak about how mature Tamal Krishna Goswami was. Just like that, the idea that the householders in Dallas should get jobs and have state stability in their Grihastha ashram. I mean, telling it in retrospect, it sounds so odd, but living it at the time, it just seemed completely normal. But anyway, so at a stage in the history of Hare Krishna land in Juhu, the relationship between the devotees and the tenants who had were occupying apartments on the land before we came there became very polarized. And that, you know, our idea was, it was a combination of two things: the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and our conception of what being the owner means in America. The conception of being the owner of a property with tenants in India is completely different. I've heard it so many times said that the tenants have more rights than the landlords. But we thought, we're the landlords, it's our property, they have their apartments, and that's it. That's all they got. And they wanted, a place for their children to play. And I was like, no, this is Krishna's property. No, that's like my. And it says, and we're the landlords, and it's Krishna, Hare Krishna land. So it became very tense. And one day, I don't know, Tamal Krishna Goswami just had an insight. He was the GBC and I was the temple president. And he said, we're thinking that these people are demons. They want to take Krishna's property and use it for their sense gratification. But actually, they're just normal householders. They're not demons. They're just like any householder. They just happen to be living on Hare Krishna land. But what they want and the type of people that they are, they're just like, he pointed like any of these householders living in any of these apartments on the street. And we should stop dealing with them as antagonists. But we should try to just see them for what they are and, try to come to some settlement with them that's acceptable. He had that maturity too. And on that point of how he could say something that would have significance that you might not realize until many years later. I had that experience, but I didn't know it until recently, because it took me that long for it to fructify. But when Tamal Krishna Goswami returned to academia, and he also had his surgery, and I also had a different kind of surgery, but I had my surgery, and it's like he joked, I have mentioned this, that he was always a step ahead of me. So even when it came to surgery, he had his surgery first. And the idea of his being a step ahead of me, maybe there was that competitive mood, but what he was saying is, because he was a step ahead of me, he could sort of guide me as to what was coming, because he'd already been through it. And he'd also entered academia, and he was sort of depending on how sensitive you were to what he said and the tone of what he said, you could say that he was sort of gently nudging me in the direction of going to the university, or you could say he was putting some pressure on me to do so. And, I had my reservations, and then there was also the question of what field to go into. So he said, why don't you go into the field of death and dying? You want to build a hospice in Vrindavan, because of Mother Archa Vigraha. Why don't you go into the field of death and dying? It's a It's a huge field. And I've heard it, and I mean, because it was coming from him, I listened carefully, but I thought, what do I have to do with death and dying? You know, this is like... And now, well, 12 years later, or whatever it is, and I'm writing a book on death and dying, and as a result, well, I'll definitely be invited to speak on the subject. And it's like, wow, it's like what he said all those years ago is actually happening. It's actually happening. So, well, we do miss him. What to do? But as devotees have mentioned, in his absence, we can feel his presence by thinking of him and talking about him and hearing about him, and also by his love and expertise coming through those whom he loved and trained. That we can feel that coming to us through them. And that's very much, it buoys us, it lifts us up. And then it's like, we're together, there's just like a thin veil separating us. And even that can be removed by divine mercy. So I thank you all for coming. Balaram Prabhu, you were a great master of ceremonies. And I'm especially pleased that you brought you and your wife, between you brought Indranila money, because I really wanted her to be present, her and her daughters, and to hear them speak as well, which I did. And just on that topic of hugging, Sarvama Prabhu mentioned how when Jamal Krishna Goswami came out here to stay for a few days, Balaram drove him. And after getting out of the car, Jamal Krishna Goswami gave him a big hug, and Balaram was quite a bit bigger than he is now. He's been good. How much?
300 pounds
back then. Jamal Krishna Goswami grabbed him tightly and leaned back and lifted him off the ground. I could not believe it. Not the strength. Well, partly the strength, but the intimacy. I wasn't used to seeing that with Srila Gurudev and his disciples. And afterwards, I commented on it to him. And he said that that he's become more more like trying to think of the exact words. We could be more like a family member, but say more. It was a combination of familiar and intimate with his disciples. And but he said the consequence of that is that it's they become less worshipful of him. But then he said, who wants to be worshipped anyway? And that was his conclusion. But still we do worship him. Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki jai.